If you could talk about, Penny, putting this in a global context, what is taking place here at the Occupy Wall Street encampment?
Well, what I found fascinating being at Wall Street is how similar it is to protests that I've seen in London over the past 6 months. And I've talked to activists from Spain and elsewhere who've said that this is exactly the same thing, just a slight cultural differences, but it's exactly the same open space, non-hierarchical leadership structure, you know, your free kitchens, your welcoming atmosphere. It's really, really very similar. And it's striking to me how much this seems to be not about America, or about any individual country, but about a global uprising. You've seen from below, really with no clear direction, but a kind of a defined sense that something needs to change. And, of course, the reaction of the authorities is very, very similar as well. Kettling became more well-known when it was used in London over the winter. And it really is a form of collective punishment. When it was used in the mass student protests outside the Houses of Parliament and in Whitehall in December and November, those were thousands and thousands of young people, many of whom were taken out and arrested, some of whom were targeted later. And as has been said, it's really a form of collective punishment designed to show people that they can't come out on the streets, they can't come out and dissent. It's designed to deter dissent in a age where really the people in power don't have much else to offer people, and they don't have any really other reason to tell them not to come out and dissent. When I was marching up to the bridge the other day, I got a little chill down my spine when I heard somebody a few steps ahead of me say, "Well, they can't arrest everyone." And I was like, yes, yes, they can, having been in London, and that's when I decided to leave, because it seemed like something big was going to happen.
Can you talk more about the media coverage?
The media coverage, again, I've seen something very similar to what happened in London and what's been happening in Britain, which is that there's been a lot of bias, a lot of writing off of these people as crusty hippies, students, people without jobs, which is really, really, very untrue. I've been down there, I've met a lot of people who are employed, people who are all different ages, all different backgrounds, and everyone starts off by trying to dismiss these protesters. Then they start off by trying to demonise and criminalise these protesters and saying they're obstructing public highways, they're making a nuisance of themselves. And then, hopefully then, they'll really start to listen and people have to decide what they're going to do then. It's very interesting the moment when you understand, as a protester or as a reporter covering protests, that the police are there not to protect everyone, but to protect a certain section of society from the rest of that society. And I think what more and more people in America today are realising is that they are the section of society for whom the 1%, as the Wall Street protesters are putting it, are meant to be protected from by the police. The police aren't necessarily out to protect everyone equally. That's what people have been realising across the world, and I think it's very, very sad, but indicative of the problems, the massive global crisis with representative democracy.